This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For you this morning. I loved just about every single song that guy did. Is that John Fogerty Ed? I think it is. Creedence Clearwater. I don't know if he's still even running around and singing. Getting to an age where maybe he's considering retirement if he hasn't stopped already. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We have not retired yet. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, September the 10th, one day before the 10th anniversary of perhaps the most tragic day in most of our memories in the United States. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, and we're going to talk about increased federal spending and his 10 reasons why it's a terrible idea. So stay tuned for that. And President Biden taking the term mask mandate to a new level. But is it constitutional, what he's doing? We are going to discuss that. We are going to look at it. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback. We're also going to get some additional thoughts on that and other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that, if you would. And, of course, on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, here's the question. Was all our effort in Afghanistan worth it? We are going to discuss that. So stay tuned for that as well. And in another edition of Campus Quackery, we salute Portland State University. Stand up and put your hand over your heart. Portland State, we'll talk about that a little later. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 unhappiest states. The unhappiest states. Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, for the best haircut you can get in the Tampa Bay area, let me direct you to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is located in Dunedin. It is located in the Overcash Plaza. It is located just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call first, 727-733-3773. Don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. It precedes my show. In fact, it's on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the great Tantalk Radio Network. They make great banners and posters, don't they? They certainly do. Anyway, we got a lot going on. President Biden, late yesterday afternoon, getting on the podium and talking about his mandate on masks. Republicans all over the place exploding with anger, calling it absolutely constitutional. Republican state governors in particular appalled by this news. Biden is going to force employers with more than 100 workers to require vaccinations or test employees, vowing to block the new policy and terming it unconstitutional. That's what they're saying. So away we go. Now, the mandate, which may affect as many as 100 million people in this country in different jobs, including healthcare, and this directly impacts the private sector. We're not just talking about public employees. So here is Thomas Massie of Kentucky Republican, absolutely unconstitutional. Neil Dunn here in Florida, Republican. Mandates, not the answer. Getting the vaccine should be up to you and your doctor, not the federal government. Lauren Boebert of Colorado. Sleepy Joe says take it or else. She says you don't lead by coercion. Poor old Sleepy Joe. You got to have a little bit of humor, don't you? You noticed, did you watch any of that, Ed? I had to watch it, of course, because I'm being paid to watch it. You know me. I got to watch all of this stuff so I can report on it. Did you watch him?
No.
Okay. It's always funny. I wait only for the end of the thing because I want to see if he's going to take any questions. Silly me. He shuffled away from the microphone as quickly as he could. He didn't answer one question.
Yeah, I heard somebody yell out, is this constitutional?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what they asked him. Is it constitutional? I would like to see this. I would like to see him make for the exit and somebody stand in his way and tell him to go back to the podium and take questions.
What's strange is, well, not strange.
I would pay $100 for somebody to stop him and make him go back to the podium.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, his whole campaign was, I have a plan for the vaccine. I have a plan for the vaccine. Well, it didn't work. Now he's got another plan, and the plan is to make you enforce it. Now, you remember that the whole thing about people that vaccinated should have to produce a card to get into a restaurant puts the restaurant owners in a bad situation. You know, they're fighting to get back. And, you know, what if you got a party of 20 come in and one doesn't have a vaccination card? Are you going to lose that entire party? And then they have to police it. Now, what you're doing is you're putting it on the big corporations or anybody with 100 employees or more to police it for you again. In other words, it's out of his hands. He doesn't have to do a damn thing. He can go back to bed.
That's right.
You know, he can go take another nap, and we'll see him in a couple of days.
That's right.
But
By the way, did you know he opposed it?
Sure.
Before, when he was running?
He opposed it before he proved it, and then he proved it before he opposed it. Yeah.
Because, of course, Trump had been, racing to get the vaccine going.
Mm-hmm.
He opposed it at that time.
Yeah.
This guy has no, what do you call it when you have no, it's like no mooring point, no foundation. He's like a balloon, untethered, floating. The string is no longer attached to anything.
And you just wonder, is that just him? No, I don't think it's just him.
It's him because he won't stand up to his own people and say, look what I said. Last year I said that I was opposed to this vaccine. Now I'm going to come out and mandate it.
To tell you the truth, I don't think he remembers. I don't think he knows what he said last week. I don't think he knows what he had for breakfast half the time.
He had Wheaties, but it doesn't help him. So we obviously know that this thing is going to be challenged.
Do you notice with these controversial things or something like this that Kamala's nowhere to be seen?
The first
few months of she was always 10 feet behind him, no matter if he was announcing a new brand of toilet paper, for crying out loud. She was right there behind him. Now, nowhere's to be seen.
True. She's the invisible woman. Really is. Very interesting. Okay, we're going to switch gears. We are going to take a break. I can't wait to talk with a buddy of ours, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute. Chris has got 10 reasons why it's a terrible idea to increase federal spending.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Thank you very much for listening to Freedom Works. By the way, we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Delighted to have back Chris Edwards from the Cato Institute. He is the Director of Tax Policy Studies at that marvelous organization. He's also the editor of Downsizing Government. He's written a piece for National Review, came out a few days ago, 10 Reasons to Oppose More Spending. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
It's always our pleasure to have you. And I love your article, Reasons to Oppose More Spending by the Federal Government. You're in a losing battle, do you not, Chris, in Washington with trying to downsize government? Oh, that you could do it. And I'm so glad you're there to do it. But you're Don Quixote, my friend.
The federal government one of these days is going to be cut, and either it's going to be cut in a planned and organized way, which I hope for, or it's going to be cut in a chaotic way when we hit a debt wall and there's a giant economic crisis, and spending and all kinds of programs will have to be slashed. So we should downsize this giant deficit and excess spending in an orderly way.
How right you are. Let's take a look at some of these reasons that you oppose it. In fact, if you don't mind, I'm just going to quickly go down your list, and then we'll stop at a few of them. You say federal overload, tax hikes, rising debt, economic crisis, the states can do it, democracy, diversity, corporate welfare, regulations, and fraud and waste, all 10 good reasons. Let's start with the first one, federal overload. Talk about that, if you would.
So here's the thing that we have on the agenda here, a $1 trillion infrastructure bill and a $3.5 trillion entitlement expansion bill. The thing is that the problem with both of these bills are the same. Both of them would overload the federal government. They would cause tax hikes. They would add debt, et cetera, et cetera. My point is that the 19 or so Republicans in the Senate who like infrastructure but not entitlements, they're not thinking clearly. The problems, the errors of both of these bills are the same. So federal overload, what I mean is this. The famous economist Milton Friedman said, because the government is doing so many things it ought not to be doing, it performs the functions it ought to be performing badly. This is obvious. The federal government runs more than 2,300 different programs.
Yeah.
Most members of Congress have no idea what most of these programs do. They don't spend any time overseeing them. It's a complete mess.
You're exactly right.
It seems to me pretty clear that the disastrous pullout from Afghanistan was partly caused by the fact that the leadership in the White House wasn't paying attention to this looming deadline at all because they were so focused on expanding the welfare state. That's just sort of one example, I think, of the problem that this massive overload in Washington does. So the two new giant bills that they're considering would make this worse. They'd add dozens, perhaps hundreds of new programs. But, members of Congress, they're lousy at overseeing what they've already got.
Oh, there's no question about it. Let's skip over to rising debt. Both bills funded partly by incurring more debt. I mean, we're just going on. Where are we now? We're close to $30 trillion in debt or whatever.
Yeah, it's, you know, the for each, we've currently got $179,000 of federal government debt for every household in the United States. So people may think, well, you know, I have a lot of debt on the home I own. But the thing is, on the home you own, your mortgage debt is offset by the asset you own in your house. But that isn't true with the government. The government is getting us all further in debt, and there's no offsetting asset here. It's money that they're going to have to hike taxes in the future to pay back.
Here's one I really like, and people don't seem to realize, I think this was the intent of our founding fathers. The states can fund it. The states can do it. It's closer to the people, and they would do a better and more efficient job, right?
There's nothing in, you know, these bills, when the details are written, will be thousands of pages long, and I bet you there's going to be absolutely nothing in any of those bills that state governments themselves could not have funded. State governments have enormous fiscal power. They have, you know, huge budgets. They can, if people want more highway spending, you know, states can do that themselves. Some state, you know, one of the entitlement expansion programs that's being proposed is a mandatory paid leave program or paid family leave. Well, we've got about 8 states that already do that. I don't favor that, but if some states want to do it, they can do it. We don't need the federal government coming in and trying to enforce conformity on the whole country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If Texas wants to do one policy and Massachusetts wants to do another, that's just fine. That's diversity.
Exactly right. Speaking of diversity, you mentioned that. Diversity. Residents of each state have varying preferences for social programs and taxes. But yet we're trying to get a one-size-fits-all from Washington, right?
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, consider, for example, transit. There's billions of dollars in urban transit subsidies in the infrastructure bill. But obviously the needs of a rural state like Kansas are very different than a place like New York City. So why don't we let New Yorkers fund their own subway system, and then in Kansas they can have different public transportation options? There's no reason to have a top-down solution from Washington.
Right. We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is with the Cato Institute, where he is the director of tax policy studies and the editor of Downsizing Government. So he knows a little bit about the whole process. And Chris, one of the other things that you talk about in your grouping of, and you have 10 reasons, you could probably have more than 10 reasons, but these are 10 excellent reasons to oppose the infrastructure and entitlement bills that we are coming, that they are getting. God help us. I hope we've got a couple of Democrats, it seems to me, that may stall them, one in Arizona and one in West Virginia. I don't know for sure how long they can keep their thumb in the dike. But going along with some of the others that you have here, corporate welfare. Talk a little bit about the corporate welfare perspective.
Well, for years we've had leaders in the Democratic Party, such as Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. You know, they rail against, you know, corporate subsidies. They claim that it's just Republicans in favor of corporate subsidies. But of course, both parties, you know, love to hand out corporate subsidies. And these two bills being considered by Congress would vastly expand corporate subsidies. They have tens, hundreds of billions of dollars in subsidies for broadband companies, electric utilities, the electric vehicle industry, manufacturing, research, renewable energy, on and on and on. I think that's a terribly dangerous for Washington to go down, because the more industries we hook on the federal teat, and more industries will be lining up for even more subsidies from Washington. And, of course, that just encourages corruption. It encourages pay-for-play sort of politics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, campaign contribution for government subsidies. It's a terribly dangerous path.
You know what I always think about when you talk about something like that is how the insurance companies and healthcare are in bed with the federal government. Normally, you would think insurance companies, you know, in the private sector would want to operate on their own and with the competition of other insurance companies, come up with great ways of covering people. But when you get in bed with the federal government, all bets are off, you know?
That's exactly right. And here's something I think people need to think about. The more industries that get tied to the federal government, they become tools of the state, and they lose their free speech independence. And so, you know, if your companies that are getting government subsidies, they're not going to criticize the government and government policy. So these bills, for example, the electric utility industry, for example, generally now doesn't get government subsidies. They get, there's lots of regulation, but they don't get the subsidies. You know, starting to hand out subsidies to the electric utility companies, they're gonna, it's gonna silence them. They're gonna become tools of big government. And I think it's really sad.
Oh, it's scary. No question about it. How about regulations? Federal subsidies come hand in hand with costly regulations imposed on the states. That slows things down and makes them more costly as well, right?
No, absolutely right. I mean, state governments can build their own highways, and there's been various estimates that, you know, if the federal government wasn't involved with all its regulations, the states could build their highways for maybe 10 or 20% lower cost. So we'd have more highways and wider highways if it wasn't, if the federal government wasn't involved. You know, another one I like to, you know, the focus on, you know, Paul, is what I call democracy. Mm-hmm. And again, it's something that people usually don't think of, but the when a program is funded by the federal government and not your state and local government, you're essentially disenfranchising people. You're moving decision making from local elected officials to unelected bureaucrats in Washington. So it undermines democracy. And again, this is kind of an irony, because it is usually the left that claims that, you know, the Republicans are against democracy and conservatives are against democracy, and they pride themselves on supporting democracy. But in fact, big government spending from Washington undermines state and local democracy and autonomy. So it's the effects of this, I think, are going to be exactly the opposite to what a lot of liberals think.
I think you're right. We're talking with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, and we're talking about his 10 reasons to oppose more spending. I can't let you go, Chris, without asking you about this vaccine mandate from President Biden yesterday. I know the Cato Institute probably has some thoughts on mandating certain companies with certain numbers of employees and the like. What is your thought overall on this, having the president make the decision?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of basic constitutional problems with this. You know, one is that, you know, this is, I guess this will be an executive order and not, you know, law passed by Congress. But even broader than that, I mean, again, to go back to our theme here, one of our themes here, you know, federalism. You know, maybe state and local governments, it's more likely that they may have such powers. But for goodness sakes, we don't need the federal government trying to overreach and exercise these sorts of power. Let's let the states. COVID's a complex. This is a complex problem the country faces. We've seen over the last year and a half that top-down rules from Washington are often detrimental. Let's let the 50 states figure this out by themselves.
Yeah, I think so too. And it seems like Biden is having a battle with a couple of governors these days, one in Texas and one here in Florida, about mask mandates. And, it seems like, you know, on the one hand, these two governors at least are saying, we're going to kind of allow the people or those units closest to the people to make these decisions, as opposed to, having it come from a further out situation, either with a mask or with a virus shot.
That's right. And go ahead. When you think about it, like, we want decisions made at the state and local level rather than the federal level for two basic reasons. One is the states are different, and they're in different situations. In the Northeast, we've got densely packed cities. In the middle of the country, we've got more, you know, sparsely populated areas. So the states are different. And secondly, you know, the preferences and needs and demands of the people who live in the states are different. You know, people have different, you know, senses about safety and about, you know, social interaction. So let's let state and local leaders make those decisions. I really don't understand the mindset that says that, you know, an elected politician from Delaware needs to make top-down decisions for people who live thousands of miles away from, you know, the place that he's familiar with. It doesn't
exactly
make any sense to me.
Do you think this is kind of wag the dog because of Afghanistan?
Yeah. Who knows? It does seem like the White House is trying to put a lot of things on the agenda here. to
disregard the man behind the curtain, right? Disregard the man behind the curtain over here. Let's focus on this other thing. I mean, we're coming up with 9/11, and I'm not so sure that Biden and the White House wants to make that a big thing, because there's an easy transfer to, well, what have we done in Afghanistan recently? But that's for another day, Chris. That's for another day. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I love your 10 reasons to oppose this kind of spending. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Okay. Chris Edwards, Cato Institute. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, Biden is taking the term vaccine mandate to a new level, but is it constitutional? We'll talk about that and other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Friday, September the 10th. It's hard to believe it's been 10 years. I remember exactly what I was doing when I first heard about it. Driving in Auburn, Alabama to work. And for some reason, Ed, I decided to not put my radio on. It was an hour drive to where I was going in Alabama. And normally I would have the radio on listening to news and the like. I turned it off because I had something I was doing and I was trying to figure out how I was. Anyway, I get to the office in the tallest building in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is crowded into one room. We had a little television back then when we still had regular TVs, sitting on a little podium up at the corner top, and all these people in the room. I mean, we couldn't hardly get another person in that little room looking at it. And that's when I first...
By the way, it was 20 years. You said 10. You said it's been 10 years.
Yeah, it seems like 10 years.
That's why I went like that.
Oh, is that why you did that?
20.
I'm losing it, aren't I?
And,
it's been 20 years.
When
that's
I heard... I was working...
I was only 12 years old at the time, too.
I was working...
Go ahead.
I was working overnight at an FM station, so I was sleeping during the day. And I got home about 7 o'clock. In the morning.
In the morning, okay.
And I had moving blankets over my window so I could sleep in the dark.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What kind of a lifestyle was that?
And then a friend calls me at 9:30, and she's like, "My God, can you believe what's happening in this world?" And I'm like, "Yeah, well, whatever." She goes, "No, did you turn the TV on?" I said, "No, I'm sleeping." She goes, "No, you better turn the TV on." That's when I saw it.
My goodness. We've got the proprietor of the Barber, Paul Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, do you remember what you were doing when it happened 20 years ago?
Oh, I could tell you exactly what I was doing.
Okay.
I was in the barber shop. It was 8:30 in the morning. One of my customers, his name was Michael Cariccio, was a captain for Continental Airlines. Got the red-eye flight out of Logan International, landed at 8 o'clock in Tampa, and he came in to get a haircut. They had the Today Show on right in front of us, and he was sitting in my chair when the first plane hit the
Wow.
And he jumped up out of the chair and said, there's no way, this is totally out of the flight pattern, something's wrong here. And he said, when the second one hit, he said, that could have been my plane. I missed it by about 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that.
I remember it to this day, his name, everything.
Yeah. You know, a lot of us knew people that worked in those, a lot of people knew other people that worked in those Twin Towers. My aunt's accountant worked there. And to this day, I don't know, because she's gone now. To this day, I don't know whether or not he survived, you know?
Terrible, terrible tragedy, Paul. And you know what's really going to be sad is tomorrow when the Taliban swears in their leaders on 9/11. That ought to make Joe Biden feel real good.
Yeah, I tell you what. You know, they were trying to shut this war down so that he could get some glory, you know, on the 20th anniversary. And it's completely backfired, completely. Before we go any further, how is your delightful wife doing?
Well, she's having a down day today. She's up and down, and her physical therapist is here right now visiting with her.
Okay.
Trying to exercise her, but it's a very slow process.
Okay, well, our love and our thoughts and our prayers are with her. Now, a Florida judge, have you heard about this, Andrew? A Florida judge has ruled against our governor, Ron DeSantis, in allowing schools to issue mask mandates while the appeals court is going through this. Go ahead.
He's a Democrat judge. What do you think he's going to do?
Well, it's Leon County Judge John Cooper. I'm not so sure he's a Democrat.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Okay. All right. He might be.
I'm pretty sure
he is. I have to look it up. I think he might be a Republican, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
He ruled, let me just tell you, he ruled to vacate an automatic stay that was given to the state after it appealed a decision saying that DeSantis' order banning school mandates is unconstitutional. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Andrew, do you think it would be better for local school boards or schools themselves to decide whether or not the kids should wear a mask? Or do you think it's better that the governor declares that the parents should make the decision?
I think the parents should make the decisions, Paul. I mean, this is a free country. We don't need to be told what to do. You got Joe Biden sitting there saying in 2020 he doesn't think there should be any mask mandate. Now you got the moron saying the total opposite. You know, you got the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. I'm in the process right now of having some yellow stars paid up that say unvaccinated across the front. I'm going to pass them to people that don't have shots, just like they did in Nazi Germany. This way you know that they're unvaccinated.
Oh, goodness.
You know?
Yeah, they used to wear a yellow star.
They used to wear the yellow star.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, we're going to have the yellow stars for the not vaccinated here, Paul. I think it's totally out of control of what's going on.
Yeah.
Biden is overstepping everything he can. His poll numbers are going way, way down. And you know, Paul, you know it's pretty messed up here, okay, because you can sit there and they say, at 18 years old, you're too young to own a rifle, right? But at 16, you're old enough to vote. At 14, you can decide if you can get an abortion. And at 3 years old, you can decide if you want to be a boy or a girl.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, what is going on here, Paul?
It's all mixed up.
What else? You know what else, too, Paul? Okay, you got the shot that their people are getting. And now it's coming out on the news. I've heard it on MSN and CNN that they're saying the shot is what's spreading this.
The shot?
The shot.
Really?
I mean, I heard it on 3 news channels.
This morning, or when did you hear it? On CNN?
I started hearing it yesterday.
On CNN?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I haven't heard a word.
You know, Paul, they don't know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And my wife and I are living proof of it.
Yeah.
Because we were both tested positive last year.
Right.
She got it again.
It's interesting, Andrew, because what motivated me to get it was I did worry about certain people that I know getting it. And I didn't want to be a spreader. I didn't think I would ever have an issue. I've always thought about
it. I was the same way.
Okay.
I was the same way. But I'm looking at it like this. If I'm going to die, it'll either be the COVID will kill me or the shot will kill me. At least they'll know what it was.
Yeah, a lot of people are worried about what's in the shot. And I know you are, too.
Well, at this point, I don't even care what's in the shot. Okay, I care what's going on and how this country's being handled. My time is up, it's going to be up, no matter what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And another thing to talk about, look at that guy that killed those people the other day. Okay, he was a Marine. They said he had problems, this and that. He only said one time he admitted he was on crystal meth. How come they're not bringing that out?
Okay, now, this is a particular incident where?
A couple of days ago, happened in Polk County under Grady Jones.
Oh, yes.
Okay, he
yes.
killed the woman with her three-month-old. He admitted he was on crystal meth.
It's terrible.
Okay, now, how come they're not saying this on the news anymore? It was mentioned one time, and he admitted to it. You know what? That could have been our governor. That could have been Andrew Gillum on crystal meth killing people.
Andrew Gillum. Right? Yeah, because right? Yeah, you're right. You're right. He was caught red-handed.
Okay, and here these people are moaning about Ron DeSantis letting the parents decide their choice.
I know.
How stupid are the American people, Paul? You tell me.
I know. No, they suppress the news on certain things like that. There's no question. The mainstream media has an agenda.
No, because instead of saying it's the crystal method, it is because he had a gun.
Right.
Understand? Okay.
Right.
The gun didn't take the crystal meth.
That's right. He did.
Okay. I mean, we need to get organized here. Biden needs to go. We all know it is his mandate. Who does this guy think he is? I'm telling you. And we're going to enforce it. What's he going to enforce? Just like he was going to come down hard in Afghanistan, what did he do there? He left people there to die. What's he going to do? People are real afraid of Joe Biden. I got news for you.
I just wonder how he's going to handle and how much he's going to be, let's say, in the public eye tomorrow. I suspect that he's got to be at certain places, you know.
Well, they don't want him in New York, I can tell you that.
No, they don't.
They booed him out of New Jersey, didn't they?
Yeah.
All right, the guy is hated. He's hated. He's in Satan's category.
There's
you know, how bad this guy is. Biden is the worst thing that has happened to this country since who knows what. The guy's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
He seems to be not in control of what he's doing. He seems to
be
a puppet. He's almost admittedly a puppet. He says, now they tell me I'm supposed to do this. Now they tell me I'm supposed to do this?
The president of the country is being told what he's got to do. And I'll tell you who's pulling the strings. It's Barack Obama and George Soros, probably Hillary Clinton in the background.
You think so, huh?
These are all a bunch of losers trying to run this country and turn it into the ground.
Yeah.
And the American people are stupid for listening to them.
Yeah.
The American public has become so dumb to the situation of what's going on in this country that they're ready to hang themselves and give up their freedom, Paul.
There's his security, NSA woman, Susan Rice. I think she's got a lot to do with this.
Oh.
Remember her? Remember her?
Oh,
she's the one.
She's living in the Obama mansion, I think. Isn't she in Washington?
Yeah, she's the one that went around saying when that thing in Libya occurred that it was because of a video. Remember the killing of our ambassador?
Yeah.
Remember all of that? She was the one that went on TV.
Video.
Remember her?
Paul, they lie through their teeth, and the American people are stupid enough to believe them. They don't research the facts. Afghanistan was... I'm having a brain.
That's all right. Afghanistan is in so many ways what he's doing there and how he's doing it is maybe his whole thing with Afghanistan is also a cover for what was going on at the border, and now his thing about virus shots is a cover for what's going on in Afghanistan. He's trying to cover one issue up with another issue. Maybe.
You know, those blankets aren't big enough, I can tell you.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I got a question for you guys, because this is confusing me all the time. What is this, this person is 2.0, or Afghanistan is, what does this 2.0 mean?
I don't know exactly what you mean when you say that.
There's the guy on Fox News there, the black guy that caught the commentator that goes on at Hannity at night. His name is something 2.0.
Oh, his name is. Oh, there's a commentator. I don't know. You know, I haven't been watching it. that show.
I don't understand what this 2.0 means. Biden's Afghanistan was Benghazi 2.0.
Oh, I see. Okay, okay.
Something?
Yeah. In other words, it's on steroids. It's or it's this is chapter two, just like the first chapter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah. Benghazi, well, now Afghanistan is 2.0. Well, it's here's another example of the same buffoonery, but this time in Afghanistan or something. It's a copy.
All right, yeah, I was curious. Everything is 2.0.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, it's like, what are they talking about here?
Yeah.
But anyway, Paul, the shot. I mean, all they can talk about is vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. I'm going to name my first kid Vaccine if it's a girl.
I like it. Not Maxine, Vaccine.
Vaccine, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, what is wrong with it? Everything going on in this world, that's all they're worried about. I got news for them. There's a lot more to worry about than this.
By the way, is COVID a male or a female name, COVID?
That I don't know.
I was thinking.
Maybe they could be transgender.
I'll tell you what you could do. Name your dog COVID. Because he'll come over, as long as you got a treat in your hand, he'll respond to COVID.
Yeah, it's true, Paul. All's I hear is, get the vaccine. Get the vaccine.
Oh, by the way, he started to whisper it on the way off the podium. When he really did, Biden, he goes something about, get the vaccine. He was getting into his whisper again.
Yesterday, I was taking care of old Jim in the morning.
By the way, let's let everybody know, Jim is a retired vet, and you are basically keeping him alive. Go ahead.
Right. So anyway, I'm there, and a nurse comes to check on him yesterday, and it was a speech therapist. I says, what do you need a speech therapist? Who sent a speech therapist? The guy could talk fine. I'm half deaf and I can understand him. No problem. Why do you get a speech therapist there? Well, we're going to give him the cognitive test. So they start asking Jim questions. Who's the president? He started laughing. I said, Biden. Okay. Then they gave him a series of numbers to remember and repeat back to them and this and that. And I looked at him and I says, there's nothing wrong with this guy. You're giving this test to the wrong person. You need to give it to your president.
Of course you do.
Okay, but they won't do that, will they?
No, they won't.
How come Trump took it and this moron refuses to?
I would pay to see him take that test, a cognitive test on television. It would be wonderful. Wouldn't it be great sitting him down?
Democrats take it.
It would be worth so much to see that. Boy, the ratings would just go right.
Oh, it would be. That would be the best of the best. Yeah,
right through the roof. Anyway, God bless you, Andrew. It's always a pleasure. Our prayers are with your delightful, beautiful wife that she gets over
I'll
all
be
of
back
this.
Back to the shop on Tuesday, Paul. You can swing by there and say hello.
I will. I will, my friend. I will indeed.
Buddy, you have a good weekend.
And we'll talk.
And be in your thoughts.
Oh, no, please, please. Talk with you Monday.
All right, you be good.
All right. You know, he's a good guy. I mean, he's got that rough, gruff exterior, but the things that that man does, it really is. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, Portland State University and another edition of Campus Quackery.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. If you cannot listen to us live, Freedom Works, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us anytime you'd like because he puts all our shows on podcast. All you've got to do is go to our website. Isn't that simple? OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Look for the podcast button. All right. So, Portland State University, a professor there by the name of Peter Boghossian has quit in an open letter in which he accuses them of fostering an environment hostile to intellectual inquiry and dissent. In other words, you can only say certain things, and if you don't say them that way, you're going to be in trouble. Now, he's a philosophy professor. He's a philosophy professor, and he's a critic of woke ideologies. So what does he what did he do? He said Wednesday that the university's created a social justice factory where students were taught to, quote, mimic the moral certainty of ideologues. Wake up, Wilbur. Wilbur was not listening to me. That's what was... Wilbur was over there laying a duck egg. But this time he woke up a little bit.
Let you remind you, this is the start of hunting season.
Wilbur!
He has to be careful.
Yeah, he does. No, I didn't think of that. The hunting season.
Remember the last time somebody shot at him?
They did.
Yes.
I think it was Biden. Or maybe Pelosi. But she can't see that well. So, he said, I used to believe... I never once believed, nor do I now, that the purpose of instruction is to lead my students to a particular conclusion. Rather, I sought to create conditions for rigorous thought to help them gain tools to hunt and furrow for their own conclusions. That is exactly what colleges used to be about, giving you kind of the courage and a direction so that you can think for yourselves. And he said, that's why I loved teaching. But brick by brick, the university has made this kind of intellectual exploration impossible. It's transforming a bastion of free inquiry into a social justice factory. He said, students at Portland State not being taught to think, rather they're being trained to mimic the moral certainty of ideologues. You know, Ed, I see that even God love them, at my old alma mater, where I get these newsletters and I get these magazines, you know, even from the college I was at. And I got the magazine the other day in the mail, and it's a glossy magazine. It used to be called a journalism school. Now it's communications, by the way. Mm. And I opened it up, and it is nothing but diversity and acceptance and separating people and talking about, social justice. And I'm thinking, wait a second. When I went to school in journalism, we were taught to be objective, give people the facts. That's what journalism was all about. No longer. Now we have to guide people into thinking a certain way.
That's the way the news is today.
Exactly so right. Exactly.
Turn the people off. It's no longer the Walter Cronkite giving you the news.
Exactly.
They're giving you their version of the news.
Exactly. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, quickly, we had our game one of our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night. It was a barn burner. Watched it to the end. Go ahead.
Yeah, big night last night. Of course, they unveiled the new banners for the Super Bowl win, and I'll tell you, boy, but people couldn't get into the stadium because there wasn't a seat available. There were
packed
watch parties all over the place. So,
and it went down to the end, and
it went down
was a great
to
comeback.
The end. You had a minute and 34 seconds left, Tom Brady's got the ball.
I told my friend, you watch, he's going to do it.
You know what dividends this guy has paid off?
He's amazing. He's
not the highest paid quarterback in the league.
No.
By far. Dak Prescott, who you played against last night for
Dallas.
And he's
44 years old.
Makes twice as much money.
I can't believe it. He's 44 years old.
He's 44 and he acts like he's 24.
He does.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our top 10. Remember a few shows back we did the happiest states? You remember that, Ed?
Yep.
Okay. We're going to do the top 10 unhappiest states. Now, these are the criteria. The unhappy estate's based on emotional, a work environment and community and environment. Okay, so here we go. This comes from WalletHub, by the way. Number 10. The 10th unhappy estate surprises me, Nevada. I always think people would be relatively happy there, but then I think again and a lot of losing people at the gaming tables. Maybe that's what happens there. Number 9. Next door to them, Arizona, is an unhappy state. Now, I don't know why.
It's always hot, dry.
Maybe it's because there's no water.
Yeah. No green grass anywhere either.
And there's no green grass. That's true. People have little pebbles, colored pebbles in their...
I've seen pictures of Arizona and people with dirt lawns.
Or pebbles. Yeah. You have a shovel and you just go down to the, you know, anyway. Number 8. Would you believe South Carolina? Now, that they've had some flooding issues over the years. I don't know if that contributes to being unhappy there.
Maybe they're unhappy because all the people are going to North Carolina.
I didn't think of that. You might be right. You might be right.
They feel like a stepchild.
Maybe that's it. They were always the little brother, not the big brother. Okay. Number 7. Alabama. Good old Alabama. I lived in Auburn, Alabama. I thought things were good, but maybe it's a poor state.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Might be economically, yeah. Okay, number 6. Same thing with Arkansas, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're picking on some of these, be honest, some of these southern states. Number 5. Now, this one, I don't know why. I'm beginning to question the survey, but they got Oklahoma down. Why would you be unhappy with Oklahoma? They got a lot of oil. Once in a while, you get a twister. Other than that, I know. They're the stepchild to Texas. That must be it.
Could be.
All right. Number 4. West Virginia. Well, I understand that. Poor state. You know, tough going, coal mining, blah, blah, blah. Number 3. Well, recently, I would say, this is for sure, Louisiana. They're not too happy right now.
Yeah.
And half of the state, well, not half the state, but a goodly portion of people don't have their power back yet.
No.
Just horrible. Number 2. And this is inevitable. In fact, I would have thought this was the number 1 based on this logic. Mississippi is number 2. Mississippi is indeed considered our poorest state. The very lowest economically, you know, income and the whole bit.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm not surprised there. All right, Ed, what do you think is the number 1? This one would, let me tell you, it's not in the north.
Okay.
It's not in the south. It's not in the Midwest. It's not in the Pacific states. No Pacific state. What do you think? What does that leave you? Want to try? There's a lot of Indians.
I'll go with New Mexico.
Roll them. Bingo.
Yeah.
Excellent. And what was the
Indians.
Clue?
Yeah, Indians,
the Navajos were there.
And I was, you know, when you said you cut off the Pacific states and the north.
I kind of just got that little sliver there, didn't I?
I was thinking, what's around there?
Utah.
The dust bowl,
Utah,
too. New Mexico is another dust bowl.
I always thought it was pretty, but I've never been there.
Yeah.
No?
No.
Big sky country, sort of? Big blue sky? No, you don't think so. Okay. Anyway, thank you so very much for listening to us. Tomorrow, of course, 20 years since 9/11. Please remember all of the, especially the police. And the firefighters. So many of them gave their lives on that day 20 years ago. Thanks for listening. Remember, freedom works. I love you.